By which process?
By which process?
Upashanti.
Upashanti.
Satisfaction of all desires.
Satisfaction of all
Bhutanam.
Bhutanam.
Of the living entities.
Of the living entities.
Akshulakanam.
Akshulakanam.
Very much fallen.
Very much fallen.
Api. Although.
Although.
Ihatam.
Ihatam.
Desiring many things.
Desiring many things.
Antarhita,
antarhita,
hidden,
hidden,
antarhidaye,
antarhidaye,
the core of the heart,
the core of the heart,
kasma,
kasma,
why,
na,
our,
our,
Veda,
Veda,
we know,
na,
not,
ashisha,
ashisha, desires,
desires.
Translation, when the Lord out of his natural compassion thinks of his devotee, by that process only are all desires of the neophyte devotee fulfilled. The Lord is situated in every living entity's heart, although the living entity may be very insignificant. The Lord knows everything about the living entity, including all its desires. Although we are very insignificant, why should the Lord not know our desires? Prabhupada, though very advanced, devotee does not think of himself advanced. He's always very humble. The Supreme Personality of Godhead in his clearest fashion is the Paramatma, super soul, sits in everyone's heart and can understand the attitudes and desires of his devotees. The Lord also gives opportunity to non-devotees to fulfill their desires, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Whatever a living entity desires, however insignificant it may be, is noted by the Lord, who gives him a chance to fulfill his desires. If the desires of the non-devotees are fulfilled, why not those of the devotee? A pure devotee simply wants to engage in the service of the Lord without material desire, and if he wants this, he can go over the sarg window where the Lord is situated, and if he is without ulterior motive, why should the Lord not understand? If a sincere devotee renders service to the Lord or to the Archa Vigraha, the form of the Lord, all his activities prove success because the Lord is present within his heart and understands his sincerity. Thus, if a devotee with all confidence goes on to strive to prescribe duties of devotional service, will ultimately attain success. Translation, when the Lord out of his natural compassion thinks of his devotee, by that process only are all desires of the neophyte devotee fulfilled. The Lord is situated in every living entity's heart, although the living entity may be very significant. The Lord knows everything about the living entity, including all his desires. Although we are very significant, why should the Lord not know our desires? So, this asks the question, why shouldn't the Lord know the desires, since he is situated within the heart? Which means that the Lord actually understands everything about the living entity, including his desires. The Supreme Lord, knowing the desires, that shows compassion on the living entities, and therefore fulfills those desires. Some of the desires may not be very beneficial for the living entity, but nevertheless, the Lord tries to fulfill those desires also. But there's always conditions attached. That is the law of karma. So we all have all sorts of desires, but we cannot necessarily get those desires fulfilled by the Lord because we also do activities which create limitation. That is the karma. So we may want lots of money, we don't necessarily get it because we do other activities which prevent us from getting that money. So, within certain limits, the desires of the living entity are fulfilled by the Lord, but not every whim that the devotee has, or any person has. So for the normal person in the material world, the law of karma must act. And this will put limitation on whatever the person desires. So the Lord does not interfere with that law, because the Lord himself makes that law. In the case of the devotee, it is different. Because as we know, the Lord shows special favor to the devotee. He is not neutral. And normally the Lord does not like or hate anybody, but simply is neutral. But with the devotee, it is said he has special affection for that person. Therefore, in terms of his desires, his response is different. If the devotee desires something, the Lord is very eager to fulfill that. And we also know that the devotee destroys his karma by the process of bhakti. So therefore the limitations are not put there on his desires as they are for the people in the material world. But of course more important than that is the eagerness of the devotee to, of the Lord to respond to the devotee's desires. And that we see in the case of Dhruva. He had a desire for a kingdom. So the Lord is very eager to give him the kingdom greater than his father's or his grandfather's. Of course, the Lord's desires, how he, the Lord's fulfillment of the devotee's desires also is in consideration of what is beneficial ultimately for the devotee. So sometimes the Lord takes away material things from a devotee. Of course, the devotee doesn't really ask for material things anyway. But if it is favorable for the advancement, then the Lord may take material things away from a devotee. At the same time, as we see in the case of Dhruva or Prahlad, the Lord gave things to the devotee because they were not unfavorable for his bhakti. In any case, the devotee is not interested in material assets, and he doesn't request those things. Instead, the only request of the devotee is how he can best serve the Supreme Lord. And if he has service of the Lord, he is satisfied. So the Lord, of course, always fulfills that type of desire. If the devotee desires a favorable relationship with the Lord is also eager to supply opportunities for that person. I mean, no way obstructs the person. So in this respect, the Lord is very, very eager. And therefore, this is called the compassion of the Lord. The jivas, as Prabhupada has described here, insignificant. But if they are devotees, the position of jiva does not change. They're still jivas. But the Lord's response to that particular jiva as a devotee is much greater. And he recognizes that person. Similarly, if the devotee is more and more attached to the Lord, then of course the Lord shows more attachment. So accordingly, as one surrenders, the Lord also responds accordingly. So according to the intensity of the devotee, then the Lord shows his compassion more intensely. So it's a matter of degrees. So generally for a beginning devotee, the Lord shows some compassion, but if it's an advanced devotee, then the Lord is willing to show much more compassion. So therefore we'll find also that the progress of the devotee increases and increases more quickly as the devotee advances, because the Lord's mercy is more and more and more and more and more as he advances. So in this way the Lord in all cases does not fail to respond to the devotees by supplying what is favorable for their devotional development, whatever circumstances are there. And ultimately, the aspiration of the devotee is to serve the Lord in a certain way. That's his goal. So ultimately, the Lord supplies that in a very perfect way in the spiritual world, with the awarding a spiritual body, etc. And in this way, the devotee is completely happy. So the Lord has natural compassion for everyone. But for people in the material world, that compassion is also mixed with the implementation of karma. So sometimes it doesn't look like compassion because people in the material world suffer. But for the devotees of the Lord, definitely the compassion aspect becomes very prominent. And of course, through the process of bhakti, the karmas begin to dissolve and then disappear completely. So the compassion of the Lord is always there for devotees. It may not look like compassion sometimes, because we'll see devotees like the Pandavas seem to suffer also. How is that compassion of the Lord? So we don't take that as karma, because they are Nityasiddha devotees. So why do they suffer? Why does the Lord bring them suffering? So these are not cases of real suffering. The only suffering for these persons, because they have spiritual bodies, they don't suffer material miseries at all. The suffering is their separation from the Lord. That is the extent of their suffering only, not anything material. like being banished from a kingdom or whatever, that is not the suffering. The suffering of the Pandavas is their separation from the Lord. So yes, the Lord arranges for separation and consequent suffering, but that suffering we should not think to be material. It is actually part of the prema in the spiritual world. So the separation acts as a stimulus for greater prema later on. So therefore that type of suffering is not real suffering. So again, whatever is arranged for the devotees like the Pandavas is only another aspect of their bliss. So we cannot call that some sort of disregard or lack of compassion on the part of the Supreme Lord. It is there to increase ultimately the prema with the devotees. So there's no exception to how the Lord acts on behalf of the devotees, obviously with full compassion. Sometimes we may see that their very karma is affecting devotees. And even in the Bhagavatam it says that the devotee should take his suffering as his karma and understand that this is the mercy of the Supreme Lord. That's how he accepts it. What is this karma? If bhakti destroys karma, what is the karma for the devotee? The suffering, of course, is dissipated by the process of bhakti, so that should not be there. But the Lord arranges for an appearance of karma anyway. Just like all other persons in the material world must undergo karma, he keeps the pattern of karma there for devotees also. So there is some pattern still there. And the devotee accepts that. It's not the same as regular karma because it's under the will of Krishna, not under the law of karma at that point. And Krishna, of course, can stop it whenever he wants to. It is some sort of pattern there that is there by the will of the Lord. So the devotees accept that also. And as something that they have done in the past, the result of something they've done, and therefore they take it as mercy of the Lord, and they don't mind it. And in the meanwhile, they continue without obstruction, that is continuously, to perform their devotional service. So this is very pleasing to the Lord, if they never interrupt their service, in spite of what appears to be karma, that is the pattern of karma. If they continue their bhakti, then the Lord is very pleased with that. And he shows his compassion to such devotees. So it is said, the devotee becomes dayavak. He becomes the recipient of the mercy of the Lord, the rightful recipient of the mercy of the Lord, just as the son is the rightful recipient of the property of the father. So the Lord becomes obliged to show mercy to such devotees who tolerate the problems of the material world and simply continue their bhakti in an uninterrupted way. Some irregularity in ISKCON or something. Though generally they say one should not worship others before the deity. And that's a general prescription. So that's there. But somehow or other what Prabhupada was present, he would see the deity as maybe the deity worship was open, so they continue in that manner.
Thank you. Thank you.